Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is time for Monday Night Lights. Glad to be back here with you after, of course, last week being off. Thanks to Nick James for filling in for me last week. And we're ready to get back into Monday Night Lights. Of course, we'll talk about the NCAA tournament in just a couple of seconds, both men's and women's. The Tigers had their opening day. We'll get our early thoughts on the Tigers so far this season, just in that early three games that they've played where they swept the White Sox and improved 2-3-0. But starting this week, teams can really start to begin their spring sports schedules in high school. And yet again, here we are in a situation. I talked about this last year as well, because the schedule for high school is just weird. It just doesn't really work for reality. I understand the idea of it, but you have a fine football season. Football season is fine, kind of where it's at. Ends in November, towards December, Thanksgiving weekend. Think it ends at a good time. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up adding more games to high school football, but they do it earlier. They're just going to continue to start earlier. They already start before the school season begins. Wouldn't be surprised if they move it to 10 games and it ends up going a little bit earlier. But then you have a long winter season, almost no break between fall and winter season, and you have a long winter season from November all the way through March. And that doesn't sound necessarily that long, but it's a long season to get you through the winter, the travel, the multiple games in a week. It's too long. Need to condense that down and not have it start till after the first of the year and just play 3 months for the spring sports season. And then, or for the winter sports season. Then spring sports, we have teams, and anybody who follows these schools online on social media, it's impossible to know where games are, practices are, anything like that when it comes to the spring sports season, because you don't know if you're inside, outside. Some of the smaller schools don't necessarily have a ton of chances to play inside, outside, wherever it is. In a lot of schools, I remember when I was in school, that the first time you're outside might be your first game. And teams can start this week. There's games scheduled as early as Thursday, I've seen, this week. We're supposed to get snowy this week. If we're able to have games played before the school season starts, why can we not push the spring season beyond the traditional school year? If you're allowed to have games before kids go back to school in the fall, I don't see a reason why you can't have games after kids leave the school year in the spring. Why is the spring sports season starting in April? It's Northern Michigan. Other parts may be able to do this. Other places might be able to do this. Why is spring sports starting the first week of April? Push this back. There shouldn't be a game until May 1st and have it go through June. There shouldn't be a game on maybe late May, something. Give it 3 weeks. I don't see why games should be starting this week. I remember playing in Roger City in the snow. It's not fun. You're worried about the temperature at all times. You're looking at your metal aluminum bats. You look at runners, and we've all seen what the uniforms are for track and field. Spring sports, especially those that require aluminum or metal equipment, should be pushed back. I see this happening with these opening weeks. And you'll go onto the MHSAA site right now and just search for the games that should be today. You're going to see a whole lot of canceled. Whole lot of canceled. Let's keep everything a little bit farther back. I'm sure there's a reason, maybe something to do with kids graduating, that they can't have it go through the year. But I'll tell you right now, I don't see a great reason. If we can start it before the season starts, or before school starts, we can go farther. We can go beyond the school season. Baseball, softball, girls soccer, track and field should all go into June. All of it. And anybody who's a spring sports fan knows that the season's really short. You feel like you're just getting started, and all of a sudden you're playing districts and you're done. Golf, all of that should be backed up. Back it up, because the quality of play that you're going to get whenever games do start, and it's got to be just terrible for athletic directors. Like, the quality of play isn't going to be great, and it's got to be terrible for athletic directors right now. Because you, when you're putting these schedules together a couple of months ago, last week, whenever it was, when you're putting these schedules together, you have to be laughing at your first ones that you're writing down as, you know, a non-conference game on April 4th. You have to be laughing as you're doing that. Knowing that, yes, we had a nice winter. We had a relatively calm winter. You know what we're supposed to have on Thursday? Mix of rain and snow and a high of 40. Mix of rain and snow, high of 40. Why? Why is this a thing? We know what state we live in. And yet, we're not adjusting to it in the spring. I don't get it. We have the sport. Your first 4 weeks of football are played in 90-degree weather. But we start before the school year even starts. That could be pushed back, because you can play football in the colder weather. Basketball's played indoors. Wrestling is done indoors. Spring sports, hey, pack your hoodies, because there's still uniform requirements. So pack your hoodies, wear them underneath your uniform, softball and baseball players, and enjoy the 45-degree weather. Good luck with that. And I guess that's where we are. So that's about all I got for high school, because this is the first week of spring sports where games might actually get played that are actually scheduled up here, and it's ridiculous. There's no reason why the MHSAA shouldn't push back the dates of spring sports. Push them back. Push them through the school year if you have to. Because this is bad. And their schedules are terrible. And anybody knows, if you're a high school athlete, you get excited on game day. You know, spring sport athletes typically are wearing your jersey to school. You're excited. You're constantly looking outside. Get to leave a little earlier, especially if it's a road game, just to find out that a game had been canceled. Don't get the hopes up. Just push it until at least mid-April. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. Back everything up. 2 weeks. And I think that we could actually have a successful spring season where you're not looking at, is there a chance that it snows on the first few games of the year? Push it back. Finals are June 15th. Push them back to July 1st. For teams that make it that far, it'll be okay. Have it be the July 4th weekend. You have football that ends on the Thanksgiving weekend. Push baseball backwards. The finals are on the July 4th weekend. It'd be pretty cool. Celebrate a championship with some fireworks. It's my new idea. Push the finals back, baseball and softball, to the July 4th weekend. So it makes the most sense. And push everything back those 3 weeks that you have. Push it all back. All right, 6:09 on the Sunrise side. Let's get into a little bit of the NCAA tournament. I didn't have a chance to talk about MSU last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. but I will spend a little bit more time on just the tournament in general and where we're at right now, because I'm surprised about the way this tournament has worked out. And I'll tell you what, right after this, it's Monday Night Lights brought to you by Kevin Hummerkouse at Dean Arbor Chevrolet of East Dallas, the Erickson Family Insurance Agency in West Branch, Blue Bear Jewelry of East Dallas, and Bogey's Indoor Golf of Dallas City.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
This edition of Monday Night Lights is proudly sponsored by the Erickson Family Agency of West Branch. As your local Farm Bureau agency, we are here to service all of your insurance needs. So if you're looking for farm, home, auto, commercial, life insurance, even retirement options, let us provide an individualized plan just for you. Come see me, Jeff Erickson, in downtown West Branch, or call 989-345-0230.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Kevin Hummerkouse at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkouse is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkouse for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Did you know 57% of parents regret not talking to their kids about money growing up? At Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union, we want to help with those conversations. April is Youth Month, and what better time to start saving for your child's future? Stop by any of our 10 office locations to learn more about our youth savings program and to open an account for that special young person in your life. We are federally insured by the NCUA. Are you looking for a new financial partner? At Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union, we make switching accounts as easy as flipping a switch with ClickSwitch. Move your direct deposits and automatic payments with ease. Why not post your direct deposit up to 2 days early for free? Once you see your pending deposit, simply click a button and your funds will automatically be deposited. You can get paid up to 2 days early. Visit our website at aaacu.com to learn more. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Shop Neiman's Family Market on US 23 in Tawas City. We're fighting to keep prices lower. Check out the hundreds of price reductions throughout the store and shop Neiman's this week for these great specials.
Spring in for some great savings at Neiman's this week. Hi, this is Ray from Neiman's Family Market. Fire up the grill with baby back ribs, only $2.99 a pound. Ground beef from Chuck, $4.49 a pound. Red, yellow, or orange bell peppers, 4 for $5. And from our bakery, 8-inch triple crumb or strawberry rhubarb pie, only $8.99 each.
Find these and more great savings at Neiman's Family Market, US 23, Tawas City.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our spring savings event, you can buy one window or door and get one 40% off when you buy four or more units. Just text FRONT to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text FRONT to 200-300 to buy one window or door and get one 40% off. And right now, save an extra $30 off every unit. Hurry, this incredible offer is only in April. Text FRONT to 200-300. Text the word FRONT to 200-300. FRONT to 200-300.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Monday Night Lights, Brad Allen here with you. Hopefully you're enjoying your April Fool's Day Monday. Not a huge fan of this holiday. I don't know if other people are. I don't think I've ever met somebody who actually is a fan of April Fool's Day. I think everybody tries to maybe get in the spirit of it a little bit, but I don't think there's actually anybody who is a legitimate fan of April Fool's Day. So let's get into the NCAA tournament here in just a minute. But first, coming up this weekend is the Detroit Lions Legends versus Iasco County Firefighters All-Stars. It's this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Tallis Area High School. We all know the basketball game. I went to it every single year as a kid. And we have some tickets for you. We're going to do a little text trivia. And at the end of this segment, we're going to do a little text trivia on the Detroit Lions. So have your Detroit Lions knowledge ready. And if you get the question right, we'll get you some tickets for you and your whole family to go see the game this Saturday, Tallis Area High School, 2 p.m. So don't worry, it'll be over well before the Final Four. So get yourself primed and ready for the Final Four, the Detroit Lions Legends versus the Iasco County Firefighter All-Stars. So let's talk about the NCAA tournament a little bit. Because I think this has been a bit of a strange tournament. And I'll get to that in just a minute. And it's probably not for a reason that you think it is. But let's start with Michigan State and Oakland. I didn't have a show last week, so I didn't have time to talk about it. And I will keep it brief because it's at this point a week late. But Oakland, it was a fantastic story to beat Kentucky. By the way, what the heck's going on in Kentucky? They're like 1-5 in their last five NCAA tournaments. But then also to take NC State, who is now in the Final Four, to overtime. It's just such a great story. They were a team that you could root for with Jack Golke shooting threes. Coach Campy, as someone who's been there for 40 years, it felt like a team you could appreciate. And they were a ton of fun. As for Michigan State, that was the most Michigan State level tournament I think you could have asked for. You saw the epitome of Michigan State season in two games. They were on against Mississippi State. Played really well and controlled that game. Controlled it. Where you never truly felt like Michigan State was ever going to lose that game. They felt like they were going to win the entire time, and it felt like it watching and listening to it. And then against North Carolina, they come out and play a tremendous early part of the game. They couldn't miss in the first 10 to 15 minutes of the game. But what you saw was a better team take a breath. North Carolina just took a breath. They survived the early storm, the haymakers from Michigan State. But they didn't go down. They had some bruises. And now they went on the offensive, and for the rest of the game, North Carolina dominated. And the better team dominated. Michigan State's at an impasse here. Michigan State needs to start thinking about, Tom Izzo needs to start thinking about how he wants to end his tenure at Michigan State. Because Tom Izzo's not going to be there for another 20 years. I'm not saying he's going to retire next season. I'm not saying he's going to retire in 5 years. I don't know when he's going to retire, but he's going to have to start thinking about how he wants his career to end. And I think it's time to go back to the beginning. He should do what Jim Harbaugh did at Michigan. So Jim Harbaugh came into Michigan, and he wanted to run. He wanted to, as he came back to college football, he wanted to adapt to college football, right? He ran a spread offense. He got Shea Patterson in on a transfer from Ole Miss, was running four wide receivers. Speed was the name of his game. And it nearly got him fired. And then going into 2020, or after the 2020 season, probably right before it, he made a switch. And he said, you know what? I'm Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to offensive line, tight ends, running the football, and being the strongest team out there. While still keeping the new age of we need to make sure we have speed. And he won a national championship, and now he's back in the NFL. So for Tom Izzo, when was the last time you truly felt like Tom Izzo had a quintessential Tom Izzo team, Michigan State team? When was the last time you really felt like it? Was it the year they lost to Middle Tennessee State in the NCAA tournament in the first round? Maybe it was the year that they beat Duke in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. Maybe that was the year where they lost to Texas Tech. Maybe that was the last time that year with Cassius Winston and Kenny Goins was the last time you truly felt like they had a Michigan State team with Nick Ward down low. Because since then, it's been one and dones. Guys like Max Christie coming through. They've struggled to find a true point guard. They're bringing in 4 5-star freshmen who have to learn the Tom Izzo way, and they have to. It's time for Tom Izzo to realize what he needs. Tyson Walker was his best player, and he brought him in on a transfer. Tom Izzo does best when he has a point guard who he can trust, who is may not be the most talented player on the court. Cassius Winston was never the most talented player on the court. He was the smartest, he had the highest basketball IQ, and he was a really, really good player. Tom Izzo needs to go find that. Go find the gritty, maybe undersized player. Adopt and adapt to the transfer portal. Finish your career the way that you started. Go find guys in the portal, not recruiting 4 5-star guys who you have to teach the game. That's not what Izzo wants. Go find guys in the portal. Guys who are big and tough, gritty. Maybe guys who are overlooked. A transfer who maybe people aren't thinking about, but you see the potential in. That's a Tom Izzo team. That's Michigan State. When I see Michigan State getting multiple players in the first round of an NBA draft, that means that they're probably not as good of a Michigan State team. College basketball is adjusted. Kentucky, I just mentioned, 1-5, I believe, in their last 5 NCAA tournament games. But either way, whether that's the exact answer or not, whether that's the exact record for Kentucky or not, the one-and-done method doesn't win in college basketball anymore. With the introduction of NIL, fringe NBA players are now staying in college. And with the transfer portal, you have good players from small schools transferring up to bigger schools to play better competition. Teams should be recruiting the transfer portal harder than they're recruiting 18-year-old kids if you want to be a legitimate threat to win the NCAA title. If you want to be a legitimate threat to make the Final Four, and Tom Izzo taking these teams that he has to the NCAA tournament and winning a game or two proves he's a great coach. Because this team felt wrong all year. He got them to the second round of the NCAA tournament, and they had a lead on a number one seed in North Carolina. Tom Izzo needs to start thinking about who he is and make his team look like that again. Go find the gritty players. Recruit up. He should be recruiting veterans to his team. Many, many veterans. Not having rotating freshmen who you hope figure it out. Malik Hall never figured it out. Matty Sissoko never figured it out. Adjust, Tom Izzo. Adjust to the transfer portal. Bring guys up. It's the best way to do it. It's the best way. So the Final Four is this weekend, and we have NC State, who's an 11 seed in the tournament. We have UConn and Purdue, who are 1 seeds. And then you have Alabama, who's a 4 seed. All in all, not a crazy NCAA tournament Final Four in what we've seen in recent years. And the Elite Eight ended up in Sweet 16, ended up being pretty interesting. But the most boring day of the tournament is what surprises me. The most boring days of the tournament were the weekend days of the first weekend. It was the round of 32. All the number one seeds moved on. Every single one of them. We had ones and twos winning all over the place. And winning by blowouts. And I had said last year when the Final Four had a four seed UConn, a five seed San Diego State, an 8 or 9 seed, maybe 10 seed, 11 seed Florida Atlantic. When it had a different kind of grouping of players making its way to the, or of teams, excuse me, making their way to the Final Four, I was like, oh, this is what happens with the transfer portal, with NIL, everybody's getting better. And this year, I think you started to see that the really good teams, and this is going to go off of what I just said about Tom Izzo, the really good teams, one, were able to keep fringe NBA players, and two, stole players from smaller schools or from still Power 5 schools, but lesser basketball schools. And were able to get them to come to these big schools like UConn. UConn lost 3 NBA players. They might be better this year than they were last year. And they beat everybody by double digits last year. And they, so far, they've beaten everybody by double digits this year. Heck, they went on a 30-0 run against Illinois. So when you look at the NCAA tournament, I might have been wrong last year, and I might be wrong again. This might just be an off year, or this tournament's just impossible to predict. But I think what's happening is you are getting the top-level teams are stronger than ever. You are going to see, I think, more one seeds make at least the Sweet 16 than ever. Because the top will stay strong. Also, big brands with quality coaches like Duke, who's a 4 seed, almost made the Final Four, though. They were just a 4 seed, but almost made the Final Four because they can recruit from other schools, and they can, of course, recruit legitimate talent of 18-year-olds. You are going to see big names get bigger. You are going to see top teams stay stronger for longer. That's why we probably are going to have our first repeat champion since 2006-2007 with Florida, who brought back most of their 2016 to 2007. It makes sense. And so same thing with UConn in this tournament. You are going to see more top-level teams win. Ones and two seeds it make their way to the Sweet 16, and I think you're going to have a bigger mess underneath. Where when you do get to the 5 seeds and on, so 5 seeds through 12 seeds, you're going to have a bigger mess. That's going to be hard to predict because those teams are all more even. But I think the top level of competition has extended themselves because this tournament has been pretty chalky outside of a team like Clemson making their way to the Elite Eight in almost the Final Four. A team like NC State making the Final Four for the first time since 1983. You're going to have these couple of teams squeak through, but it was a lot of chalk. It was a lot of ones and two seeds. I mean, the Sweet 16 was, you'd have the 1, 3, 4, and 5. The 1, 2, 4, and 11. The 1, 2, 5, and 7. The 1, 3, 5. I mean, it was all low numbers and then one team that was an outlier. There was no crazy bracket this year. There was no crazy region. None. You sometimes have a team like North Carolina State make a run that's crazy, but there was no crazy region. And I think that's because the top-level talent is too good to beat now. That it's the lower level that truly is going to the middle of the pack that's going to eat itself alive. The middle class of college basketball has gotten stronger. But the upper class has gotten just so much better than everybody else. Purdue and UConn have crushed everybody in this tournament. Everybody. And I think UConn's far and above better than everybody else. But Purdue and UConn have crushed everybody. Clearly been the best teams. Tennessee gave Purdue a fight yesterday. But that game got into the second half and Purdue again, felt like they were in control. So this NCAA tournament, I think it's going to lead to a UConn-Purdue final. And maybe start picking more chalk towards the Final Fours than maybe I thought last year, where I thought the NCAA tournament was going to become impossible to predict. But I think we're going to start to get an evening out where the rich get richer, but the middle class is expanded. And it's those really, really small schools that you're never going to see really pop up and win that much again. Alrighty, so I mentioned coming up this Saturday, the Detroit Lions legends will battle the Iasco County Firefighter All-Stars. I talked with Rob Rubick, I guess the week before last, because I was gone last week. The week before last, you guys heard that. As I talked with him about Herman Moore's coming, Corey Schlesinger's coming. Of course, Rob Rubick will be there too. And when it comes to basketball, of course, we talk about scoring. So if you want tickets to the game, and we can have multiple winners here. It's first come, first serve. We're going to text to win. Text to win. Text 989-362-3417. 989-362-3417. Detroit Lions Legends versus Iasco County Firefighter All-Stars this Saturday at 2 p.m. I'll get you however many tickets you need for your family here. However many tickets you need to get you to the game this Saturday. First come, first serve. Within reason. Don't take like 20. But within reason, you got a family of four, let me know. I think I have actually six tickets here that we can give away right now. But because basketball is about scoring, your question today, four tickets to the this game this Saturday, just shoot me a text of, who's the Detroit Lions' all-time leading scorer? If you can answer who the Detroit Lions' all-time leading scorer is, we will get you tickets too. The Detroit Legends versus the Iasco Detroit Lions Legends versus the Iasco County Firefighter All-Stars this Saturday at 2 p.m. here at Tallis Area High School. Coming up, we'll dive into the Detroit Tigers. They're 3-0 on this season. What can we take from these three games? Because I don't want to overreact, but what can we take from these three victories for the Detroit Tigers?
Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tawa City offers a premium year-round golf experience featuring the industry's most accurate golf simulators. Choose from hundreds of local and famous courses. Bogey's now has a full bar stocked with beer, wine, and liquor, so they have you covered for a fun night out. Bogey's Indoor Golf at the south end of Tawa City on US 23. Check them out online at bogeystawas.com. That's bogeystawas.com to schedule your tee time today.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too, plus red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Spring is in the air. Time to hit the road in a reliable, like-new vehicle from Dean Arbor Ford of Tawa City. Our selection of certified pre-owned Fords includes the fuel-efficient EcoSport, the powerful Bronco Sport Outer Banks, and the family-friendly F-150 with a hybrid option. All certified vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty for peace of mind. Explore your spring adventures in style and comfort. Visit Dean Arbor Ford today on M55 Tawa City. We have competitive financing options, and we're paying top dollar for local trade-ins. Also, browse our inventory online, DeanArborTawas.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our spring savings event, you can buy one window or door and get one 40% off when you buy four
four or more units. Just text OWN to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text OWN to 200-300 to buy one window or door and get one 40% off. And right now, save an extra $30 off every unit. Hurry, this incredible offer is only in April. Text OWN to 200-300. Text the word OWN to 200-300. OWN to 200-300.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Monday Night Lights, Brad Allen here with you, 6:35 on the sunrise side as we make our way through the first day of April. And Monday Night Lights is brought to you in part by Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tawa City. And right now you can call and reserve a spot for a Mizuno fitting at the Tawas location. Bogey's Indoor Golf, Tawa City and Alpena. It's coming up Sunday, April 7th between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. They have limited space and 45-minute reservations required. There's adult and junior fittings. Mizuno has a junior fit program that allows juniors to get their clubs reshafted and adjusted as they grow for just a small charge. If you're interested in a Mizuno fitting this Sunday, April 7th, from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. at Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tawa City, call 989-305-6212 and reserve your spot today. The Detroit Tigers have started 3-0 on the season, and now they travel to New York to take on the New York Mets. And I don't want to overreact in three wins, because at the end of the day, they've won three games by a combined three runs. 1-0, 7-6, and 3-2. And so if you take out a game that they scored seven runs, they've scored four in the other two games. This offense is still going to be probably below average, hopefully better than last year, but probably below average. But I'm like, okay, well, what can we take from three games of a road sweep? What can we take? One, the team is learning how to win, which is cool. But again, it's just three games. I don't think that's something I can extrapolate out into another 159 games. But I think something that I can take and say is, let's look at the pitching staff. The Detroit Tigers pitching staff has an obvious ace, Tarek Skubal. One of the top five left-handed pitchers in baseball, might be the best left-handed pitcher in baseball, and might be someone who you want to throw some money on to win a Cy Young. Then in starters two through six, with Matt Manning being down in the minors, I don't think there's a huge gap between Kenta Maeda, Jack Flaherty, Reese Olson, Casey Mize, and Matt Manning. If Matt Manning would have made the team and started the second game of the year, you wouldn't have been that surprised he started over Kenta Maeda. Little surprising, but not that surprised. You wouldn't be surprised if Casey Mize was starting today instead of Reese Olson. You wouldn't have been surprised if Casey Mize was starting the second game of the year instead of starting tomorrow against the Mets. Two through five is about the same. And all solid starting pitchers. That's the thing, is not only are they about the same, but they're all really solid. You're not getting poor production out of anybody. This starting rotation, if it stays healthy, should be good. But again, I'm not going to overreact to three games of Tarek Skubal throwing six shutout innings against a bad team. Or Jack Flaherty throwing six good innings yesterday against a bad team. Or Kenta Maeda struggling on Saturday. I'm not going to overreact. But what you can take from spring training and from the first three games of the year, this bullpen is going to be ridiculously good. This bullpen might be one of the more unknown deadly bullpens in the league. Jason Foley, 2-for-2 in saves. His opening game, he was throwing 101 mile per hour sinkers with command. If he can do that, he's going to be nearly impossible to hit. And then, yesterday, Tyler Holton faced four batters. He struck them all out. Tyler Holton was really good last year. Shelby Miller has been good in his couple of appearances. Chafin gave up a home run yesterday, but he is good. He was really good in his first appearance. He was solid yesterday. Could have been better, but he was solid. You trust Alex Viedo to get guys out. It's amazing. The only guy who you don't really trust to necessarily get a bunch of outs is Alex Lang, because he hasn't been able to spot his curveball. But if your biggest weakness in the bullpen is a guy who used to be a legitimate Major League Baseball closer and has somehow just lost something in his head of being unable to command his curveball, which is his best pitch, you have a good problem, especially when the manager is A.J. Hinch, who is so good at mixing and matching. And this team has committed so much to guys not just going one inning. Tyler Holton being told, you're going to face four batters. If it happens that you get the first three out, it's not all of a sudden that you're not going to face a fourth batter. You're going to sit down, get back up, and you're going to go out and face one guy, and hopefully you get us four outs. There's 27 outs in a game. That's a better way to think about it than there's nine innings in a game. Get 27 outs. Don't get nine innings. Get 27 outs. Mix and match, and A.J. Hinch is really good at that. This bullpen is going to be really good as long as it stays healthy. There's a term in baseball, and I'll explain it, in quite a few sports, and it's used a lot. It's not like I'm going to break any ground here. But shortening the game. And I don't mean time. I mean shortening the game. And that's what the Tigers can do here. Because let's just think about the series against the White Sox. So you have Jason Foley, who was really good in the ninth inning. Pretty much you were not going to score a run against Jason Foley. Well, then you have to take one inning out because it's not a nine inning game. Let's say the White Sox only had eight innings to score a run because Jason Foley was going to pitch one, wasn't going to work. Okay, so they had eight innings. Well, Tyler Holton was masterful for an inning. It was an inning and a third, but an inning. Him and Foley combined for two innings. And Tyler Holton's been really good, and Shelby Miller's been good in the other inning. Oh, if they want a righty in the eighth, okay, well, that's shortening one more inning. Okay, now they only have seven innings. Let's say a typical starter goes five innings. And out of those five innings, two of them are one, two, three innings. Okay, now you only have five innings to score. That's it. The White Sox, in that series, had five innings to score. And that's just off of using the back end of the bullpen and conservatives saying that a starting pitcher will get a two out of five. One, two, three innings. They had five innings to score. And then if you go to like opening day, where Tarek Skubal throws six innings and doesn't allow a guy to get past first base, Jason Foley's going nuts. Shelby Miller's really good. And Chafin was really good. They really had no chance to score. The pitching was too good. The White Sox, if you played that game 100 times, had about a 1% chance to win that game. They didn't have an inning in which to take advantage. And I think this year teams will see that against the Tigers with how good A.J. Hinch is. They may only have 3 1/3 to about 5 2/3 innings to score. And I'm going to put those thirds and two-thirds in there, which makes it more confusing, yes. But because Tigers relievers go more than an inning. They go an inning and a third, an inning and two-thirds. They face multiple four or five batters. So you may only have, let's say, 3 to 5 innings to score against the Tigers. That's it. Because they have solid starting pitching, but most importantly, because the bullpen is just that good. Jason Foley will be a name that people will know at the end of the year. And if you can shorten the game to the point where this team can hold teams to 3 to 4 runs a game, the hopefully slightly improved offense should get this team to a point where they're inching to 500. They finished 7 games out of a playoff spot last year. 7. 7 games out of a playoff spot. That's when they were eliminated, I should say. It was with 7 games to go. Think they can't make up 7 games? In 162? Well, they're just showing you how much it means right now by winning these first three against a bad White Sox team. I'm not going to sit here and say they beat some great team. They beat a bad team, but good teams beat bad teams. But I'm also not going to overreact because they did win all of these by one. They could get swept by the Mets today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. It wouldn't surprise me. But in what we've seen, I'm not going to say this team's going to compete for a playoff spot. I'm not going to say this team is really good, should be a contender with the Twins for the division. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the bullpen is going to be really good. And that's what you can take out of these three games. The bullpen's really good. These games are going to be shorter. If the starting pitchers can do their jobs, five innings, two runs or less, the Tigers' win percentage, try and keep track of how many times a starting pitcher goes five innings and gives up two runs or less, and how many times the Tigers win that game. Because the bullpen's just not going to give up a bunch of runs. I think they're going to be really good, the bullpen. I think the team's going to be fine. Because I just don't think they're going to hit that much. There's no power on this team. That's the problem. This team is better on offense. They just have no power. Yeah, Torkelson, who's probably going to hit 30 homers, maybe more. There's just no power. No pop. Good hitters, but no pop. So this team's going to be fine. Fine offensively. You got to hit the ball over the wall. But again, bullpen's really good. And I'm going to take no way around that. Besides, yeah, the bullpen's really good. All right, 6:46. Let's go back to basketball to wrap up the show coming up next. As tonight's a huge night in basketball. I'll explain why and also why it's weirdly timed.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
You know what? The prices of everything going up and up these days, a guy just can't catch a break. So when I discovered Save More Tobacco Store on South 5th Street, downtown West Branch, I could not believe my eyes. Huge selection and the lowest prices I've ever seen.
The tobacco store that saves you more.
For premium loose tobacco or any kind of smoke, just a short trip to Save More can really save some dough. Save More Tobacco Store.
Spring into savings with Save More Tobacco for all the RYO and vaping products you need. Relieve pain with their large variety of CBD and kratom products, including pets. Or relax with a nice cigar. Save More Tobacco, open Monday through Saturday on 5th Street in downtown West Branch. Follow us on Facebook for store updates. E-cigs contain nicotine and addictive chemical.
The tobacco store that saves you more.
Save More Tobacco Store. What are you waiting for?
Diamond Grind Michigan, based in West Branch. I'm Justin Benjamin. Diamond Grind is the top-of-the-line engineered floor coating system, committed to providing you with a superior floor coating install by quality craftsmen. For first-rate satisfaction guaranteed, Diamond Grind Michigan, West Branch. Call 989-345-0628. For a free estimate, visit the web at diamondgrindmi.com. It's the first floor coating system you'll want and the last you'll need.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our spring savings event, you can buy one window or door and get one 40% off when you buy four four or more units. Just text OWN to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text OWN to 200-300 to buy one window or door and get one 40% off. And right now, save an extra $30 off every unit. Hurry, this incredible offer is only in April. Text OWN to 200-300. Text the word OWN to 200-300. OWN to 200-300.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Ready to wrap it up here with the final word on Monday Night Lights, and want to talk about the women's NCAA tournament, which has two huge games tonight. Huge games. Caitlin Clark and Iowa taking on Angel Reese and LSU, a national championship rematch from last year. And then number one seed USC taking on Paige Beckers and UConn, maybe the most iconic college basketball girls' college basketball brand, maybe college basketball brand of the 2000s with UConn. Huge games tonight. The unfortunate thing is it's on a Monday night. And people will do Monday Night Football. People will do things like this, but sitting and watching college basketball for this long, I'm interested to see how people do this. But one thing that I haven't liked about this women's NCAA tournament is its structure being with the men's tournament. Women's basketball is growing in this country, and as it should. But it's not to a point where people are going to watch even a good women's basketball game right now over a first round game, the first round of the men's NCAA tournament. It should be its own separate thing. It should be on at a different time. It should be weeks later. It should be pushed back. Where at least you have the, it should be a week different. Maybe even 2 weeks different. Where you have the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 of the men's side at the same time as you have like the first round, second round of the women's side. Someone like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese at LSU. This game shouldn't be on a Monday evening at 7 o'clock. It should be on either a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. It should be on a Friday night. It should be a feature. And I bet you could get a network or to get into it, not just cable, ESPN, but to get an actual network into it. They might even be able to get it on ABC. But because it's structured about the same time as the men's tournament, it's just a day off instead of multiple weeks off, it's tough to get there with this. But on the positive side of this, it's such a great matchup tonight with Caitlin Clark in Iowa, with Angel Reese in LSU. And that's the great thing about what women's basketball has been and why it's different from the men's game. The men's game is about coaches and about teams. Coaches and teams. The women's side is about players. It's about who's actually on the court, and I like it. It's a lot of fun when you have the best players being the draw. Is there a single player? We're down to the final four of the men's side. Is there a single player who's getting you to a TV? I doubt Zach Edey is. There's nobody on UConn. Nobody on Alabama. No one's getting, DJ Burns might be doing it at NC State. But even there, he's just a fun story. It's not watching the most prolific scorer in college basketball history, Caitlin Clark. It's not watching the star power of Angel Reese at LSU, along with Haley Van Lith, too. It's why South Carolina has been kind of pushed off to the side, because South Carolina has been right up there as one of the best programs. They don't have that star player, Juju Watkins at USC, but Paige Beckers at UConn. Paige Beckers has been in college for what feels like 10 years. She's battled with injuries and some other things, but Paige Beckers gets me to a TV. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese will get me to a TV tonight. It's a great night of women's college basketball. It's a great night of college basketball. I just wish it was 2 weeks later or a week later. I just wish it wasn't right after people have watched hours and hours of the men's NCAA tournament. Because even the biggest basketball fans are going to get a little burnt out. I don't know how you guys feel, but it's maybe especially because I was on vacation for the first round of the tournament and I did a staycation. I was at home all week. I don't know how you guys felt, but I watched, you know, Thursday and Friday, I was still here, but Saturday and Sunday, and then the following week, the Sweet 16 round, I was home for every game. I was able to watch every game. And especially in that first round, I mean, you have that first game at 12:15 p.m. That last game doesn't start until about 10:45 because it gets pushed back a little bit. Games take longer than they expect. You've got 10:30, 10:45 for the last game starts. Wall to wall in between there for 2 days. And then, man, to pick up that third day to watch, you know, and then you're trying to mix in the women's game, that third day to watch the women's games. That's a lot. It's a lot to ask not only of people just to watch, but just in my own personal situation. This is just me. You know, my wife likes sports, but she's not a sports fan. I have had to pick and choose because I try to be a good husband. If I just was single and lived alone all the time, then I probably would watch every NFL game and every college football game and tons of college basketball. And I would just dedicate my time to that. And of course, but I can't do that. So I kind of pick and choose my moments here. The NCAA tournament is one that for these two weekends where we're going to have wall-to-wall basketball, I'm sorry, but we've got to do it for these two weekends. These two weekends of the men's first round and the Sweet 16 round. Those first two. Those are ones that you pick and choose to get a third day in there. But if you made it just a third weekend that you had to pay attention, another weekend, I think you'd make it work. But the final four for both of these are going to be right at the same time? You don't want that. National championship games, same time. You don't want that. They should be off a little bit. They're just not. Not there. They're not where you'd want them to be in an Elite Eight game tonight on a Monday. I'm going to watch it, but I don't think it's as easy for everybody to watch. I'm a different type of person than maybe the general sports fan, where there are going to be people who want to watch Caitlin Clark, but I'm not sure it's going to draw as big of an audience as they could have if this tournament was more standalone. They should want it to be standalone. The NCAA should want the women's product because of how much it's growing and how much it has grown. They should want women's college basketball to be standalone, to be its own entity. Don't put it at the same time as the men's tournament. I mean, heck, the NIT is on. No one's watching that. Don't have it at the same time as the men's tournaments. I understand it might be difficult with the season to push it off, but you can push it off a week. You could make it happen. And I think the women's college basketball team would understand it. Because you see these stories that came out, like Caitlin Clark said, that, hey, the women's tournament's just been more exciting than the men's tournament. Which might be true, but I don't think a lot of people know that. People aren't watching that. The bracket challenges in your office pool aren't on the women's bracket. They're on the men's bracket. If you could push everything back a little bit, make this more standalone. I don't think the women's college basketball is going to grow to people are going to make it an event like they do the first round and second round of the men's NCAA tournament. But that Sweet 16 should be something that's by itself. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four should be on its own weekend. Makes the most sense. Alrighty, that is wrapping it up for Monday Night Lights. So we are brought to you by K Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet of East Dallas, the Erickson Family Insurance Agency, your Farm Bureau insurance agent in West Branch, Blue Bear Jewelry of East Dallas, and Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tallis City. You can find the show anytime as a podcast at podbean.com, WKJC.com, and find us on Twitter and on Facebook, and you'll be able to check out everything that we have there. Hope everybody has a fantastic Monday evening. I will be back tomorrow. I will talk to you guys tomorrow, back into the country setting of things. This has been Monday Night Lights.
Broadcasting from the shores of Tallis Bay, you're listening to the big one, 50,000 watts, WKJC-FM, Tallis City, East Tallis, a Carroll Broadcasting Station.